Hi there, welcome back to Tech Empowered. This is a podcast where we share real stories of people whose lives have been transformed by technology across Africa and beyond. If you don't already know, this podcast is brought to you by Tech for Dev. Tech for Dev is a nonprofit organization creating opportunities for economic prosperity through digital skills empowerment and advocacy. I am your host, Yemisi, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. On each episode of this podcast, we bring you real people to share their stories, their wins, challenges, their losses, and everything in between. And today we are speaking with Jamila Ibrahim. She's a Women Techsters Fellowship alumna from Kebbi State in Northern Nigeria. Jamila studied environmental science, but found her passion in tech. So from studying environmental science to working as a front-end developer at one of the top banks in Nigeria today, we're going to hear all about Jamila's story, and I can't wait for you guys to meet her. So we'll hear how she made that transition, challenges she faced along the way, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into the conversation for today. Hi, Jamila. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Yemisi. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. So let's start from the beginning. Can you start by telling us about yourself, your background? Who is Jamila? I mean, you're from Kebbi State. Did you grow up in Kebbi? What was that growing up like for you?
Okay, so I would first respond to that question. I actually didn't grow up in Kebbi. I grew up in Abuja. So I was born in Kaduna, and eventually, because of the kind of job my dad did, we moved to Abuja. So I grew up in Abuja. I lived in Abuja. My whole family are based in Abuja. So it was more like, oh, we go home for, you know, festive celebrations and the rest. But I was basically in Abuja.
Where in Kaduna were you born? I was born in Kaduna too, that's what I'm asking.
So I was born in FS Base, the hospital, the military hospital there.
Oh, 44?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, interesting.
You really know Kaduna.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Kaduna, so so I only went to, I think my first time leaving Kaduna was when I went to university. Yeah,
oh, wow.
My life, primary school, secondary school was in Kaduna. Yeah.
Awesome. About Jamila, apart from my technical part, my career introduction, Jamila is just a simple, playful person. I'm a front-end developer. I love tech. I'm a tech enthusiast. I am very curious. I have a very curious mind. I don't even know, and I actually love, like, genuinely believe in creating impact through code and through community. My growing up in Abuja was quite peaceful. You know, I grew up in a very good family. We're just two kids and our parents, and we had a lot of people living with us, so it was more like a family kind of. I grew up in a very good family setting, close-knitted family setting. And it was more of, you know, a kind of place where everybody is surrounded by culture, family, warmth, you know. And my dad was luckily a computer engineer, so I saw the interest in computer from there. But it was different from, you know, basically what I'm experiencing now as an adult.
Interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that glimpse. Okay, so you mentioned something. You said it's different from what you're experiencing now as an adult. Do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Okay, so thank God you grew up in Kaduna, so you understand staying in the north, growing up in the north, and moving to Lagos. It's something else. Like, it's a whole different change and a whole lot of culture shock. So it's not as it's Lagos has its own unique you know, unique things it brings to you. But when staying in the north, it's different. The people are different, the environment is different, the feel is different, right? So it's, that's why I just use that word, you know, different from what I'm experiencing now as an adult. Yeah.
Can you give me a typical example?
Traffic.
Wow, I mean, that's a major one, actually. It is,
yeah.
I'll give you that, yeah. Traffic is
and
a major
noise.
One. Because it can be quite noisy. You know, life is a lot. So when you live somewhere aside Lagos, you realize that, you know, life can be a lot, you know, more a lot
peaceful.
quieter, like everybody's moving at a, you know, for lack of a better word, leisurely pace. But when you're in the guys, I see everybody walking really fast. Like, oh yeah, if you're not moving fast, leave it from my way. Like,
you can't
so, yeah,
imagine.
I get what you mean.
Like, the first year I came, I was always asking, why is everybody shouting? What's happening? Is it that we can't talk on low volume? Like, what's happening? I don't get. So, yeah, the whole thing is different for me. It was a different view.
How long have you lived in Lagos?
Yeah, I moved to Lagos 2021, October. So, pretty much since then.
Wow. Yeah, I get that. That culture shock is massive. So I can relate. Okay, so what was life like before tech? I mean, you studied environmental science. And I know that you mentioned that your dad is a computer engineer and that sort of like influenced your journey into tech. But did you always see yourself ending up in tech even while you were studying environmental science? You know, and then what inspired you to make that shift eventually?
Okay, so no, I actually didn't see myself venturing into tech, sincerely. So I had this growing up, I always wanted to be a medical doctor. I know Nigerian mother syndrome kind of thing, right? But it was just my thing, right? I wanted to help people and you know, make things easy for people. And you know, Nigeria changed my passion for medicine in a way that applying for admission till you get tired and just take what you are given, right? So I got admission into the university to study environmental science. At first, it was looking like, oh, my dreams have been fumbled, right? But eventually, I just realized that, oh, environmental science is linked to also, there are also health parts of it. And, you know, I started enjoying the course. So my whole mindset of what life would be like after study was, you know, be a, you know, sustainable development, you know, person that is pushing out for save the world, save the earth, cleaner environments kind of thing, right? But after my service here, I realized that the work job hunting outside is not for the faint in heart. But I did some mini jobs here and there, and it wasn't really lucrative. As to, I don't know how to explain it in words, but it wasn't lucrative at all. Like, there's sometimes people are owing you salary. There's sometimes the job is not bringing anything, so they are not paying and stuff. So I had to take a pause. Right, I was still in that phase of trying to figure out what my thing was. And the reason why I actually didn't really see myself in that tech space, but, you know, curiosity. And I think one of the days I was watching a particular movie. I'm trying to wrap my head around the name of the movie, but the movie was about some patients in the hospital, and there was this girl that was actually part of the patient. She was sick as well, but she created an application to remind her fellow patients on how to take their drugs, because, you know, their ailments was like they take drugs regularly, they were always on these drugs. So she created it to help other children like her to be able to get reminders to take their medications. And it sparked something in me, like, oh, really, oh, you always wanted to help people, you get, why can't you create, you know, an application to help people? It doesn't have to be about drugs. So I started having, you know, this curiosity. Wait, how are apps done, actually? How are these things built? Why can't I learn it? That was where the interest came in, and I started looking for ways to learn. I really didn't know which language to use, what to use. I had no idea about tech. I was just curious and started researching about it. Then, you know, from there, YouTube started helping me little by little. And there was an opportunity to learn. I think my pastor in church then said, oh, he wants to do some boot camp for people interested in web development, you know, and other tech skills. And I was like, okay, this is God helping me. And I decided to, you know, join that boot camp. And it further helped me to, you know, learn the basic HTML and CSS. And you won't believe what I built with HTML and CSS. They were very beautiful, you know, templates, very, very beautiful. Because I was learning, you know how you're learning at the beginning stage, you are so eager to know what's happening. Even if you're failing, you're trying to find out what's happening. Why am I failing? What am I not doing well? And you know, that time there was nothing like ChatGPT to help you just easily check what's going on wrong. You have to research, check online. Yeah, that's just it. That was what inspired me to, you know, make that shift.
Interesting. I mean, something stood out to me what you said, right? How, you know, you always had this underlying desire to help people, and you initially thought, oh, environmental science was going to be it, and then you found out another way, right, that you can also help people. It just shows that there are multiple ways to actually achieve whatever passion you're passionate about, or whatever you desire to do, right? There are always multiple channels. So most times we sort of like limit ourselves in our thinking as to, oh, there's this African proverb that there are multiple ways to get into a market, right? So there are like multiple routes to get into a particular place. You just need to, you know, search and find the path that works for you and that resonates with you the most. So thank you so much for sharing that. When you joined the Women Tech Success Fellowship, you were already working as a front-end developer. Did the fellowship impact or improve your career in any way?
Oh yes, definitely it did. Even though I was already in the field, the Women Tech Star Fellowship helped me level up in ways I didn't expect, sincerely. It wasn't just about technical skills. It was about, you know, the networking. It was about the exposure and the reminder that I'm not alone as a female in tech. In the, like, you know how it feels that tech is mostly believed to be more of men-centered, but I was happy that I wasn't alone. Then sometimes, you know, seeing other women doing amazing things in the line of tech can be a motivation. Like just being in an alumni group and you're seeing, oh, I just got a job, oh, I just applied, or see somebody's you know, what they call it, blog about tech, teaching people how to get started. All those motivations are the basic benefits I gained from Women Tech Star Fellowship.
Interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you just mentioned something now about like tech being a male dominated field. Did you ever feel the weight of that on your journey? And what was your experience like navigating that kind of environment?
I did actually. So when I joined my organization, I was like the only female web developer for a long time, until recently another female web developer joined. And I don't know how to put it, but in as much as they'll say, oh, equal environment, equal work environment, you still notice, you just want your girls, you know. I just want to know that I'm not alone. I don't know if you understand. Like, you turn, you see man, at least let me see woman and smile, like you get. So it's aside the fact that sometimes there's this whole men are believed to do more than ladies and stuff. There's still some people that believe in that stereotype. But for me, my angle was, I just needed my girl, you know. I'm like a woman supporting women kind of person. So yeah, it's now the gap is closing a bit, because I'm beginning to meet more people in my space that are ladies and doing good. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, there's strength in numbers, like they say, right? The fact that you have somebody who can relate on a more personal level to the kind of struggles that you are also experiencing is a plus, really. So yeah, I get what you mean. So are there like practical ways that you have been able to navigate? I mean, you worked with men for like a long time. Are there practical ways are you able to navigate that kind of environment?
I don't think there's a particular way. So I can just speak from my own perspective. So the practical way I used is basically collaborating. I collaborated with these people, make them friends. They are cool guys, like sincerely. Like people I work with are actually very cool. They're my friends, like my buddies. But I try to understand, you know, working with people, you have to understand those people. Like we don't all think alike, but everybody mean well. For the purpose of the job, you have to collaborate, right? Of course, a lot of us put on our CV, we are team, we do teamwork, we team bond, we are good team players. Do the good team players in your office too now. So all those things matter. So you can easily navigate an office environment that is male dominated when you have people that understand you. You can't understand someone if you don't befriend them. Now, I'm not saying besties kind of befriending, like casual friends, like we are colleagues, let's be friends, understand these people. It's easier to approach someone you know than to approach someone that you don't know. I don't know if you get. I'm working with someone and I should be able to, I'm having an issue with this, and the person is able to help, right? People dedicate time to people they like. I don't know how to put it, but like people they like or people they respect, right? Mm-hmm. It's easier to communicate with these guys if you are friends with them, not like basically closer friends to them, like colleague friends. You're in cordial relationship, that's the word, with your colleagues. So as a lady, you should have cordial relationship with your colleague. You don't have to be uptight or at workplace, or if you work remotely, you don't have to be uptight. They should be able to know that, okay, you also bring something to the table, but how would they know if they don't see what you do, or you don't communicate, or you don't open up? Then in terms of conflict, you can openly resolve this conflict, or if there's a third party that's higher, that can help, you know, resolve the conflict best between two parties, then why not? But in the whole long run, knowing how to communicate in an office setting and knowing how to, you know, team bond with your colleagues is one of the things I've used to survive in this field, sincerely.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, cultivating a good working relationship is important for any role, right? And amongst whatever colleague or team members you're working with, it makes your work easier. It makes things move easier and faster, pretty much. Yeah. Okay, so what do you wish more young women knew about careers in tech?
It's possible. So someone told me something when I wanted to go into tech. She's in Abuja and she's someone I look up to, and I was like, I think I want to learn tech. And she was like, my dear, you can be whatever you want to be as long as you put your mind to it. And it stuck with me. And when I was, when I was leaving Abuja for this job, I told her, you told me I can be anything I want to be, and I'm doing tech now. And she was so proud. So this is my advice to younger women, sincerely. Everything is possible if you want it to. So you have, while God have the map of our lives, we have the, you know, keys and the steering of where we want it to go. So you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to come from a fancy background, right, to achieve your dreams. Tech is learnable, it's flexible, and tech is full of opportunities. There are different kind of tech. There's no code tech, and there's, you know, the code part of tech. You can start with free resources, you can join communities like Tech for Dev, and you can grow at your own pace, right? representation matters, and I actually want them to know that if I can do it, you know, you can do it. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, you can be anything you want to be as long as you put your mind to it. It's very, very solid and profound advice that anybody needs at any stage of their lives, right? Even if you're thinking about your next step, you can actually be whatever you want to be as long as you are ready to put in the work. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much, Jamila, for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of another incredible episode. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us, Jamila. I have learned a lot from this session, and I am sure our listeners learned something too. So whether you're looking to learn, upskill, or make a complete transition, just start from where you are. You will eventually get it right, and someday you will grow into the version of yourself you always dreamt about. And just knowing at the back of your mind that there are multiple ways to achieve whatever goal or dream that you have. It doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all. So thank you so much for listening to Tech Empowered, a podcast brought to you by Tech for Dev. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it, leave a review, follow us on all our social media platforms so you don't miss the next inspiring story. I remain your humble host, DMC, and until next time, stay safe and don't stop learning. Bye for now.